1887, Rev Gershon Henoch Weiner, also known as the Radzina Rebbe. He was a Rebbe in Radzin, and he was very interested in the Techeles, in identifying the marine,
nice.
Try to find whatever it was, a fish, a snail, whatever, in terms of trying to identify what the Techeles is, because we know, why was he so interested in finding that blue thread? Because he figured, and he was in 1887, he figured we're getting close to the time of the temple going to be rebuilt. We're going to have the third temple. We're in the times of the Mashiach. So what's going to happen? We're going to build the Beis HaMikdash. And then, hey, wait a second. We need to find the Chilazon. We need to find the blue thread. Why do we need the blue thread? Because one on the garments of the Kohen, you have to have the big day, on the big day Kohuna, you have to have Tcheles. That's an obstacle in performing the mitzvah. You can't do, the Kohen can't wear his clothing, his Kohanim clothing, without the Tcheles. So he says, what's going to happen? We're going to wake up later? So he went ahead, he was a chemist, he went around Italy all over. That was one of his life's mission, to go ahead and find the Tcheles. And he thought he found it. It was the cuttlefish. He claimed he did the test, and he says, I got the Techeles. This parenthetically, we have Yitzchak Halevi Herzog, who was the Rav in Ireland at the time, who later became, I think he's the first chief rabbi of Medinas Eretz Yisrael, of the state of Israel. He was, see, Rav Avram HaKohen Cook was the first chief rabbi of Israel before the Medina. But post 1948, I think Rav Chaim or Rav Yitzchak Halevi Herzog. So he actually corresponded with the Radzina Rebbe. He said, it's the wrong fish. It's the wrong thing. It's not it. You were duped by a chemist, he told him, because really the blue came from a dye that the chemist gave him. And that's not, it's nothing to do with, it wasn't the cola that came out of the fish. So he says he was duped. Of course, the Ravina Rebbe didn't listen to him. He thought he was right. And the irony of the story is that the Nazis went ahead and destroyed the whole town where the Radzina Rebbe was. And the so by the way, the Hasidim wear the chelas from the Rebbe. But it was destroyed, the town, and they had no idea how to make the chelas. So what happened was interesting. They got in touch with Rav Yitzchak Halevi Herzog, and through his correspondence, even though he disagreed with him, he thought it was the Murex trunculus, the snail. He still gave him all the info, and they reconstructed, and Radzina Hasidim today still wear the chelas from the Rebbe, the Radzina Rebbe. So he already in 1887 already, he sent out, during that time he was involved, and he sent out, he put out his sefer, but what he did, he sent out to all the great rabbis during his time, and tell me, what do you think? What do you think of this Techeles? You think it's the real one? Let me know. So by the big day Kohuna, you have to have it. But where else do we have the blue thread? On the mitzvah of tzitzis. The mitzvah of tzitzis, we have it. So the question is, do we have the tcheles that we have to put on our tzitzis or not? So by the big day Kohuna, you can't wear it without it. But what about tzitzis? Could I wear tzitzis without the blue? Or if I don't have the blue, I can't do anything. In other words, is tcheles an obstacle for the white? In other words, on the tzitzis, you have white. And tcheles is boot. If we had a time, in the ideal time, to fulfill our mitzvah of tzitzis, we'd have the blue and white together on the tzitzis. But we lost the tcheles for a while. Question if it's a current question, have we found it or not? But we definitely lost it about 1,000 years ago, whatever it was. So we didn't have it for a long period. And no one, And for a long period before the Radzina, no one thought they had it. So what was the procedure? Did people wear tzitzis, or they stopped wearing tzitzis when we lost the tchela? So that goes back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah Menachas tells us, "Hatcheles eino makaves es alavan, v'alavan eino makaves." In other words, even though the Rambam says they're one mitzvah, but the Rambam counts tefillin as two mitzvahs: my hand mitzvah, my head mitzvah. So they have nothing to the two separate mitzvahs. But the mitzvah of tzitzis, the lavan and tcheles are one big mitzvah. So the question is one an obstacle? Can I fulfill the mitzvah of tzitzis with only lavan? Can I fulfill the mitzvah of tzitzis with only tcheles? So the first opinion in the Mishnah says, yes, you can. They are not an obstacle and you can do it. And the other opinion they quote in the Gemara from Rebbe disagrees and says, they're an obstacle in performing the mitzvah. If you don't have the blue string, you cannot fulfill the mitzvah of tzitzis at all. And in fact, that was the opinion of the Baal Hamor. The Baal Hamor's opinion, one of the earlier commentators, the Ramban quotes the Baal Hamor, that, you know what, it might sound crazy. You know what, the Baal Hamor? He never wore tzitzis in his life. This is a great rabbi. Why? He said, we don't have the tcheles, and his opinion was they're an obstacle. You can't do one without the other. So when Rav Soloveitchik used to say this over, that what was more amazing to Rav Soloveitchik, he says, you mean to tell me the Baal Hamor wasn't buried in a talis? Like, he was, because we know the custom is you're buried in your talis. So but the Baal Hamor did not wear tzitzis ever, they claim. And why? But logically, it makes sense. Because and I like to say tongue-in-cheek, I'd say the majority of Jews follow the opinion of the Baal Hamor. They don't wear tzitzis. So they're all chassidim of the Baal Hamor. Must be, that's my conclusion. There must be chassidim of the Baal Hamor. You know, you're not going to be firmer than the Baal Hamor. If he didn't wear tzitzis, you're not going to either. And however, the briskers take the Baal Hamor as a chumrah. In other words, briskers in general are very strict. They take, you know what they have a stringency? They won't wear, there's a talis gadol you wear in shul, you know, the talis, and there's one you wear under your garment, the talis katan. So the briskers, so the talis gadol they left in shul. The briskers don't carry, they don't go for an Arab anyway, but they wouldn't wear the talis katan on Shabbos. 6 days a week they wore it. The briskers, even today, do not wear a talis katan on Shabbos. Why not? Why, there's no mitzvah on Shabbos to wear a talis? Why don't you think they wear it? Because they were concerned for the opinion of the Baal Hamor. So during the week, it's a big deal. Even if they're wrong, they didn't do anything wrong. But on Shabbos, there's a biblical prohibition of carrying. So if I'm wrong, so if the Baal Hamor is right that I'm wearing nothing, so these strings are not clothing, I'm carrying an extra load, and therefore I violate carrying on Shabbos. So the briskers do not wear a talis katan on Shabbos. However, we're not briskers here. We don't accept the Baal Hamor. Anyway, today we have an Erev here, and there's not a Rishus HaRabim, but that's just an interesting aside, the normative psak is you don't have to worry, we could still fulfill the mitzvah of tzitzis, even though we don't have techeles. We'll have to see, maybe if we do have techeles, so then can we or not? But that's what the issue is here. So we can fulfill the mitzvah without tcheles, but everyone agrees the optimal way of doing the mitzvah is with tcheles. So we're hoping to find the tcheles so we can do the mitzvah in the ultimate fashion. So that's what we have to know. If we find the tcheles, we want to know if we could put them on our tzitzis or not. So So Rav Gershon Henoch Leiner sent around to the different rabbis, tell me what you think. Many did not respond. Many did respond. I think most responded in the negative, that they didn't think it was it. But what the focus of tonight is, coming back to the briskers, the Beis Halevi. So let's give you some Soloveitchik history. Rav Soloveitchik in Boston, and you know Chaim Soloveitchik, who is here, his father was Rav Aaron Soloveitchik. Rav Aaron Soloveitchik from Chicago and Rav Yoshi Beer Soloveitchik from Boston, the one Rav Mordechai Green's Rebbe, they were brothers. Their father was Rav Moshe Soloveitchik. Rav Moshe Soloveitchik's father was Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. And Rav Chaim Soloveitchik's father was the Beis Halevi. So therefore, we're going back to the Beis Halevi. Yeah, so he lived during the time of Rav Gershon Henoch Leiner. So, you know, late 1800s, maybe early 1900s, but he was around during that time. So so he disagreed. He thought the cuttlefish was not the tchelis. So that everyone's in agreement. He thought he was against the Radzvina Rebbe's tchelis. However, there's a debate, why was he against? You'll ask, like, who cares? If he was against, because it would be a big difference. I'll tell you what the difference will be in a minute. And this affects Henry's whole life, this difference is. We're touching on archaeology and all of that. We have an expert tonight on archaeology. So,
is that what his field is? I have no idea.
Yeah, he has many fields. One is cooking. He has a cooking channel. And the other one on the side, he checks out some digs and stuff and some forensic, you know. You see those TV show, or maybe you don't, but I don't either, but the forensic shows, they call Henry to find out what's going on if they want to know when something happened. So it goes like this. So I don't even remember what happened yesterday, but if I want to know what happened 1,000 years ago, I call Henry. So it goes like this. So the question is, why did the Beis Halevi... So the version in the book goes as follows. From the way Rav Gershon Henoch Leiner writes in his book, it's an anonymous letter from someone who says they're a close acquaintance of the Beis Halevi. And he says as follows. He says, if you would have found a sea creature that no one knew, let's say, you just, whatever reason, somehow this fish showed up randomly, or maybe not randomly, it just popped into the world. No one ever saw this fish before. And no one else was aware of, so then I'll begin to take you seriously and say, okay, I'll take it to the next step and see, maybe this is the fish, maybe it's not. But the dye of the cuttlefish, everyone knew about this cuttlefish for centuries. Many great rabbis from tens of years, hundreds of years ago, they knew about the sea creature, the cuttlefish, they knew about the dye. And no other rabbi said it was good. So it's what we call, we have a post facto misora, we have a de facto misora that this isn't it. The fact that for the hundreds of years, all the great rabbis knew about the fish, the dye, and then no one said it was good. So you wake up 200 years later and say, I found it. So the Beis Halevi said, it's not the fish, I can't accept it's the fish, because then everyone else would have known about it. But he says, if you find a new fish and you okay, I'll be the first one to wear it. Maybe then I'm. So that's why, according to this version, he rejected it. That's the way it's brought down in his book. The tradition of the briskers, Rav Soloveitchik's tradition. You would think they would have a better tradition because it's from their family. But that tradition is, that's not what he said. He did say he's against, but not for that reason. He says, you know why he's against? The Soloveitchik family says that even if you're telling me, so according to the first approach, it's not the cuttlefish. It can't be because everyone else knew about it. The second version saying, even if you prove to, even if it's a new fish, we never knew about it. This shows up now for the first time ever. It's still not going to be. Why? Because in order, if the treles, let's say, has been lost for, let's say, about 1,000 years, give or take. So the brisker opinion is, in order to restore an old mitzvah, to identify the chilazon, something that was lost, we need an unbroken chain of mesorah. We need an unbroken chain going back. In other words, and we cannot base a mesorah based on archaeological evidence. That is the brisker approach. That you can use, if I have to, it has to be back from one generation to the other. It has to be. That this, and since we don't have that, even if you're right, is wrong, you're wrong. Even if you could prove to me 100% from archaeological evidence, historical evidence, scientific, whatever evidence you want, halachically speaking, it's meaningless because we need an unbroken Mesorah. We don't have that. We have to wait for Eliyahu HaNavi, for Moshe Rabbeinu to come and tell us this is it. So we have two. So everyone agrees the cuttlefish, both versions of the Beis HaLevi say the cuttlefish is no good. But the first version is no good because everyone knew about the cuttlefish and it was we have a de facto tradition. It must have been rejected. According to the second approach, it doesn't make a difference what fish he showed him. Even if it was a new fish, since we already lost the Mesorah, we have to wait. We need for Eliyahu HaNavi and Moshe Rabbeinu to come down to. So according to the second version, we're not going to have the Techeles until the time of the Mashiach. So the question is, which is the more likely version to be true? In other words, and which version of the Beis HaLevi makes more sense? Door number one or door number two? Door number one is saying is, if you find me a new fish, I'll be willing to listen. And if we do this search and check, I'll wear it. I'm open to wearing it in theory, was number one. And number two is I'm not even, it's closed shop before you even begin. So Refival Cohen, who's a Rav in Brooklyn, he was very close to one of the great rabbis in Israel who passed away, Rav El Yashav. And he asked, he had a correspondence with Rav El Yashav, and he asked Rav El Yashav, which version of the Beis HaLevi do you think is most correct? Like, forget about which one he said. There's two opinions of it. So he's asking Rav El Yashav himself, which version do you like? Which version do you think makes more sense? So Rav El Yashav told Refival Cohen, and they printed it up. He says that if this sea creature that you're talking about that was not available in the time of the Gaonim, during the time of the Gaonim, that's when the tradition on the identity of the chilazon was lost. So let's say this fish wasn't around, we didn't know about it, and now we just found this fish, i.e. the Murex trunculus now, then go ahead. Knock yourself out. We'll look for proofs in the Gemara, but scientific, archaeological, historical proofs you could rely on. And yes, we can reconstruct a forgotten Mesorah based on archaeology and, of course, based on the Gemara. So he liked the first version of the Beis HaLevi, that we're definitely interested in we accept archaeological finds. There's nothing wrong with that. Obviously, it has to be in conjunction with our principles. We have the Gemara gives us different identities of the chilazon. It has to fit in with that also, but we're not against using historical, scientific, and other means. That's the opinion of Rav El Yashav. So Rav Yashav was open to this Murex trunculus. So he asked him, so if that's the case, then are you going to wear it? If you're telling me it's, So he said, you know, different. I have to think about it. I'll get back to you on that. Or so others. So the bottom line is he never did wear it. So people want to bring a proof. The fact he never wore it shows he didn't hold from it. So no, the people who say you should be wearing tchelis say no. You know what happened? This is their version of the story that Rav Schechter says over that. The Techelis people went to Rav El Yashav and they showed him what they got. All the proofs in the Murex Trunculus. And he said, oh yeah, okay, it's looking pretty good. Yeah, I like what I see. So let me ask you, do you have enough of this for like, if 100,000 Charedim, 100,000 religious Jews started wearing Techelis tomorrow, would you have enough Techelis? Of course not. Price would skyrocket, supply, you know, business, supply and demand. So it would be very expensive. He said, okay, so he said, I have to give a meta halacha. If I would tell, if people, I wouldn't have to say anything, if people saw me wearing the tchelis, thousands of charedim will go out tomorrow. He wasn't saying this is showing off. He was just saying this is a matter of fact. That people, he's the Gadol Hador, they follow him. If people would see me wearing tchelis, you know what would happen? They'd all go run out tomorrow and buy them, and they're going to be very expensive. The many charedim are very poor. In Jerusalem, it's a very high rate of poverty. And you know what they're going to do? They don't even have enough money to pay to put food on the table for the wives and kids. They're going to take that money and spend it on tchelis. And I want no part of that. Therefore, I'm not going to tell you that tchelis is good. That's the pro version that he really held from it, but he didn't want to come out for meta halachic reasons. Obviously, the other people will say, "Well, he didn't come out because he says it's no good." But so either way, so according to Rav El Yashav, he is open to archaeological finds and any other historical. We could use that in conjunction with the Gemara and whatever. Rav Soloveitchik and the Briskers, Rav Soloveitchik held from archaeology. He just said you can't, it's a halachic issue. If you have an unbroken Masorah, if you have a broken Masorah, so even if, I trust it's right, but it doesn't make a difference. It's a halachic issue that you can only identify tchelis based on a tradition from one generation to another. In other words, I'll give you an example. There's a discussion in the Talmud. They're not sure what rice was. Rice and millet. Orez or dochen. So they're not sure. And the difference is, the question is, what bracha do you make? So what bracha do we make on rice? What's the accepted norm, I should say? What bracha do we make on rice? Right, so we make mizonos, which, but either way, that's not something we would guess. So we make mizonos, but why? Because we assume orez is rice, because in every other language, it's the same word, right? Like if you look through the history, you look it up, it's clear from the dictionary or that, or from historical research, and every culture, they all have a similar word. So we figured it out that orez means rice, and therefore we make borim in emizonos. So the Rav Soloveitchik's family will not make borim in emizonos, because why? We don't have a tradition. The fact that you figured it out through other means, that doesn't help me. And Briskers will, I think Chabad also, he'll either make a shahako on the rice, because shahako yotze for everything, or he'd make a mizonos on a piece of cake and then eat it. But the point being is, even if archaeology is right, it doesn't make a difference. If you don't have a tradition from one generation to the next, we cannot. That is the Brisker opinion. And Rav El Yashav did not. You know, I could give you a couple of Gemaras we could go over showing it seems to show that we do follow archaeology, you know. I'll have to give you the pro and con, because I'll give you one Gemara, because we're talking about tzitzis anyway, and this week's parasha is about tzitzis also. Korach was the common sense rebellion. He said, if the halacha is you could have a whole white beged, a whole white cloth, and you put one little string of blue on it, and that's good, how much more so if I have a blue beged, I shouldn't have to put any tchelos on. No, Moshe said you do, but that's the connect. So I'll give you one Gemara, because before I head over to Mincha. The Gemara says in Baba Basra, Ayin Dalet Amin Aleph, 74a, there was an Arab tour guide. I guess he must have been a good tour guide. He showed Rabba Bar Bar Chana, he showed them the people who died, whatever was left over from the 40 years of the Jews who were buried in the Egypt, in the Midbar, the 40 years they traveled during the time of Moses. And he showed them different things he found, left over. I wonder if Henry got a chance to look at anything. After he returned back to the Beis HaMedrash, so his fellow rabbi said to him, Did you go ahead and check out the tzitzits? What kind of tzitzits were they wearing? In other words, there's a debate whether tzitzits have six strings or eight. But he said, you fool, why didn't you look at what you were right there? You saw the bodies, the tzitzits. Why didn't you take a look? And then we could have clarified the debate. So what seems clear from this Gemara? That from the observation of archaeological evidence, that would have been enough to determine whether we should have six strings or eight strings. And they rebuked him for it. So what would Rav Soloveitchik do with this Gemara? What do you mean? So he would say, no, this Gemara is different. Why? You know who this Arab tour guide was? He was really dressed up. He was alias Eliyahu Hanavi. He was, and therefore, if Eliyahu Hanavi tells me it's good, then it's good. So either way, we'll have to go through, next time we could go through a couple of more proofs of when we do, when we don't, and that would lead us to then, can we use, according to the first version, we're open to the Murex Trunculus, but according to the Briskers, or if Salvatia closed up the Briska family closed up shop on Tchelos until Mashiach comes, because they claim there's no Mesorah, and therefore we can't base the tradition. But according to the other opinion, we'll have to go into it. We'll have to continue. Have a good evening or an Erev Tov.
Erev Tov, right.
Any questions?
No.